Welcome to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam of the Loyalty House International, a denomination originating from United Denomination of Lighthouse Group of Churches, UDOLGC. Called of God, he ministers under the anointing of his father, Bishop Dagiwood Mills. Bishop Sam is the resident pastor of the Abbey Branch in Dawenia, off the Dawenia-Afienya Link Road. He oversees many churches both in Ghana and abroad. May the power of God be activated in your life today as you listen to Active Word.
Welcome to Active Word, where the word is alive.
Crown you now with many. Is he worthy of our praise? Is he worthy of our worship?
I say, any more
than you can
say,
any more than you can say. Thank him for today. Thank him for resurrection, sir. Understand what it meant or what it means or meant for Jesus to hang on the cross on a sunny Friday afternoon. Almost, in fact, naked. Being whipped for you. And then they buried him. They buried him. He went to the grave for your sins and for my sins. As your friend, is it too much for you? As your friend, is it too much for you? Is it too much for you to lift up your hands and say glory to Jesus? Is it too much for you to sit in church for 3 hours? Is it too much for you to lift up your hands and say hallelujah? Shout hallelujah! Shout, is it too much?
Too much.
Now I'll sing the song again.
Is worthy to worship and adore the Lamb of God, victorious.
If you have your hand in, you can take it. Express your love in any way, everywhere possible you want. And tell the person that he is risen. And he deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. He deserves our time. He deserves our everything. Tell the person with joy on your face. Tell the person as if you meant it. In the name of
God.
He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Those of you at the outside, be part of it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He purchased our redemption. He saved us from death. He saved us from sin.
Yeah.
How many of you know that he's alive again? How many of you know that he's alive again? He's alive again. For the stone is rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he lay. He's alive again. I can hear the angels sing. Let all the world sing, he's alive. He's alive again. He's alive again. For the stone is rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where he lay.
He's alive.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Let's take our seats. The soul winning agenda.
Wow.
Why did Jesus come to die? I want you to appreciate what Jesus went through when he died for you. You can never compare the heat you are going through to the sufferings of Christ on the cross. How many of you are feeling hot today? You can't compare it to be 1 second, minutest of a second, to the sufferings of Christ. So this should make you appreciate what Christ has done for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you appreciate what Christ has done for you? I tell you, it was not easy for Christ. Hallelujah. And so today, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we are going to briefly hear the word of God. And then also, we have graduation of the new believers.
New believers for say graduation amomo.
And then we shall close and rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you are at the Good Friday service on Friday? Give me a wave. Let me see. Wow. How many of you heard all the prophetic words that the bishop spoke? Every word that he spoke over your life, it will practically come to pass in your life in the name of Jesus. Every word he spoke will practically. Do you remember the plane flying over your head? Do you remember the plane flying over your head? He said, one day you shall never be refused a visa to sit on a plane in Jesus' name. Shout amen.
Amen.
But we had a wonderful time, Good Friday, and many testimonies. In fact, in our sit down, in our region, in our council, somebody posted a testimony. And that, do you know what the testimony was? He said after Good Friday service, he went home with his wife. And they were going to sleep. And do you know what they saw under the sheet? I wish I had given them the picture. A big snake.
Na owobi da omubeshi sase.
A big snake.
Was not walk
a snake. The snake is yellow. I don't know whether I've seen you have seen a yellow. There's a yellow snake. Ah.
Wow.
Long yellow snake like that. Under the sheets.
Owone da be sheet na se.
And God deliver them from it. May God deliver you from every snake, every plan of the enemy against your life in the name of Jesus. Hey, when they sent me the testimony, I said, wow, this one there is the prophetic words of the prophet that has delivered them. Hallelujah. You see, so don't be in a hurry to go. Don't think some of you don't know what God is delivering you from. As you sit here for the next how many minutes or how many hours, just be attentive and just tell yourself, oh, but men obey or be. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the drama has already preached to us, isn't it? I think you all understood the drama, so let me just go over this quickly and we'll go. Jesus came to the earth and he died for a reason. And his death should not be in vain. Jesus came here not for fanfare. Jesus came here not to come and do unnecessary things. He came for a reason. He came for a reason. And the reason
is that
the Bible says in Matthew 18:11.
Bible, I say,
for the Son of Man is come. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. So Jesus came to save us.
Yes,
we were lost. And he came to save us. So it's important that what he came to do, we keep to the agenda. We stick to the agenda. He came with an agenda. And the agenda was to win souls. The agenda was to win souls. And so today, briefly, can I have the book tell them? Briefly, I am going to remind us of the agenda and why we must win souls so that his death will not be in vain. What we are celebrating today will not be in vain. You know, people celebrate a lot of things, especially in our part of this world. A lot of things that don't make meaning. A lot of things that they've not done, they celebrate. Toilet that has not been built, they celebrate. Road that has not finished, they celebrate it by cutting a sword and making a lot of noise about it. Things that don't make meaning.
Hallelujah.
And they don't celebrate it with meaning because elections are coming. So we had to go and cut a sword for votes. But let me tell you something. We should not be like politicians. We should not be like people who celebrate without really understanding the meaning of what they are celebrating. We are celebrating and reminding ourselves about the agenda of Christ. And that is soul winning. Jesus came to save that which was lost. Not only to save, but to look for them, to seek, to look for them, to look for them. Wherever they are, go to their homes, visit them in their offices, go to the markets, to look for them, to seek those that were lost, and then to save them. I was lost some time ago, but Jesus came searching for me. He sent someone to my house. He sent someone on the way. He made someone to preach to me. He made someone to put me on a bus so that I will hear the word of God, so that I'll be saved. That is your story, and that is my story. So in this book, tell them, there are 120 reasons why you must be born again. 120 reasons why you must also preach the born again message and stick to the born again agenda. And so today we are going to see a few of them to remind ourselves of the agenda, why Jesus came to die. He came for a reason. He came for a purpose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I want you to know that one of the reasons why we should keep to this agenda is that soul winning was the first command of Jesus Christ to all of us, his disciples. The first command to all of us, his disciples. Do you know we are all Jesus' disciples? So this command is to all of us too. And what is the first command? Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That is his last word, isn't it? That is his last word. But his first word rather is in Matthew 4:19. He says his first command when he met them, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Peter and John, what were they doing?
Peter and John, no more.
They were working.
No more.
They were fishing.
No more.
That was their work.
And only more.
And then Jesus met them.
Na Jesus
and he said, follow me. Come and do my agenda. I am changing your profession. I am changing your work. I will now make you fishers of men. In other words, I will make you soul winners. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is Jesus' first command when he called them. He made plain his agenda to them. And his last command is what we read, Matthew 15:16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is Jesus' last words. Go ye into what? All the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. The last word of every man is very important. That is why we should take this very, very seriously. If we do it, Jesus will also be with us. Last week, we got to know that he said what? He will be with us all the way. If we do this, hallelujah. Another reason why we must stick to the soul winning agenda. It's because David Livingstone. How many of you have heard of David Livingstone?
Papa, be a friend, David Livingstone.
Hey, you didn't do history or something. You are a science student. David Livingstone said,
okay, say,
if a commission by an earthly king is an honor.
Reason number 65.
If a commission by an earthly king is an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice?
And your center
leader, if a commission by an earthly king,
it's
an honor. How can a commission by a heavenly king be a sacrifice? How many of us will be honored to be appointed Ghana's High Commissioner?
To Ghana's High Commissioner.
Estonia. Even Afghanistan. You feel honored. Even Ghana's High Commissioner to Togo.
You can say Ghana's High Commissioner to Togo, Grandpa. We need
Ambassador to Togo.
Ghana's Ambassador to Togo.
You'll be honored. Your whole family will come and pour powder on you. And I always wonder why, when you receive such positions, they put powder on you. It means that Ghana money has come. Go and chop some and bring some to the family. We to our family for chop some.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you saw it as serving the nation, they wouldn't have to come. You see, when you go to court and you win a case, then they pour powder on you. Is that not so? Because you have won a case. So if you are appointed a minister, a high commissioner, and they pour powder on you, what does it mean? I mean, what? Yes, you be DB. Hey! That one, you call it an honor and say, His Excellency, Ghana's High Commissioner to Canada.
No more for His Excellency.
Hey!
Hey!
But if God commissions you and makes you His ambassador to Pong,
no, you're an amsini
or Pong.
Say, Kokpong.
Pong, Pong.
And I Pong.
If God commissions you and make you His ambassador to Pram Pram, that one you said, they're my people. They are making us to sacrifice too much. Hey! Do you understand who is sending you? who is making you an ambassador. If God tells you today is Swollen Sunday, go as my ambassador to every home and bring them to church. You say we are sacrificing too much. Hey, let's keep to the agenda. It is because we have gone away from the agenda. That is why doing the mission of God has now become a sacrifice. So it's so difficult for you to obey the Great Commission. It's so difficult for you. But today, as we celebrate His resurrection, know that the one who is making you His Excellency, her ex, you see, one day you will arrive in heaven, and I will show you. I will just give you two or three examples in the Bible, in the book I will close. One day you go to heaven.
We do heaven.
And not human beings, angelic beings shall salute you and shake your hand and say, Your Excellency, Basenta leader to Mateheko, you are welcome.
Basenta leader. Yamawakwaba.
Your Excellency, Basenta leader to Mateheko, you are welcome.
Your Excellency, Yamawakwaba.
They will shake your hand and say, Your Excellency, Basonta leader in the choir, you are welcome.
Your Excellency, Basonta leader, Yamawakwaba.
Your Excellency,
Yamawakwaba.
Here on earth, when you are doing it and you are sweating, nobody would look. One of the sisters in church, they call her 6 to 6.
Oh, baby, so your friend is 6 to 6.
And they are making fun of her.
No more sereno.
Because when she leaves home in the morning, when she's a Basenta
leader,
she has to go and gather people and then go home late. Today they will be making mockery of you, call you 6 to 6. But one day they shall salute you in heaven. Not human beings, angels.
Angels
shall salute you in heaven and say, Your Excellency, Basonta leader, Basenta
leader,
church planter.
Church planter.
Please, this is your seat. It's your seat.
Pacho,
and you go and sit there. And they will give you your... that thing that they give is what? Ambassadora, what? They give you something with the Ghana colors on it. It's Ambassadora... letters of credence. May you receive your letters of credence from God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So that is why we must keep the soul winning agenda. We must not stop doing Jesus' agenda. Hallelujah. Another reason why we mustn't stop the agenda. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is because Harry Martin, missionary to India and Persia, said,
Harry Martin is someone called India.
The spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become. You see, the spirit of Christ is the spirit of staying to the agenda. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you want to see someone who is close to God, look at someone who is always preaching Christ. Sending people out. Making people to go out and win souls. Bring souls on buses. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is the spirit of mission. The other day somebody was telling one of our Basenta leaders that your church is wicked. How can they ask you to bring people to church on buses and they don't give you money? Meanwhile, the Basenta has not gone to complain. But the person, how should the church ask you to go and bring people on buses and not give you money? Obviously, that spirit that entered Peter, which was about to stop Jesus from making the greatest sacrifice, had entered into that person. Anybody who attempts to stop you from sacrificing is actually stopping you from gaining your prize and your your reward from God. The spirit of sacrifice is what we need. So Jesus said that, Peter, you are not thinking about the things of God.
Yeah.
You see, so somebody was stopping the person. That why are you sacrificing? Why are you doing that? Why? Because the person's mind is no longer there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have just two or three for you and you'll close. Should I just say two or three? Please. Or you want to hear more?
More.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. We must stick to the agenda and be soul winners.
Because
Dave Davison said,
okay, I say,
listen, this is very important.
And this one here, pa.
If you found a cure for cancer, reason number 73. If you found a cure for
cancer,
wouldn't it be inconceivable to hide it from the rest of mankind? Up to today, we don't have a cure for cancer. We have a whole lot of herbalists who have one or two things that say can heal cancer, but we still don't have a cure for cancer. Can you imagine that someone finds a cure for cancer? Wouldn't it be inconceivable to hide it from the rest of mankind? How much more inconceivable to keep silent the cure from the wages of eternal death? The cure from the eternal wages of death. If you find a cure for cancer,
Mabel,
you'll be given a Nobel Prize award that you have found a cure. Would you keep it?
Even some people,
they thought they have found a cure for AIDS and they publicized it and everything, but it's still not working, isn't it? They were talking about it. Now, we have a cure for an eternal disease. More terrible than cancer. More terrible than anything. The cure for eternal wages of sin, which is death. That is what we have. And everyone who is not born again is suffering from that disease. And you have the cure. And you have kept it to yourself. How? How? In the day of good news, listen. The lepers did not keep silent and hide it from the rest of the starving. Do you remember the story of the lepers?
Okay, sir.
Let's go to 2 Kings.
2 Kings.
Chapter 7. Those of you who are keeping silent, who are not talking to anybody, you are keeping good news from them. This is the news they need to hear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you are hearing some news that you shouldn't have heard before you preached. Hallelujah.
Amen.
2 Kings 7, 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Verse 8. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and enter into another tent and carrying dance also and went and hid it. So they got the good news. They got the goodies. They were eating.
No more did he.
And they went and came again.
No more sacrifice.
And they ate.
No more.
Then, verse 9. Then said one to another, we do not well. We do not well. Tell your friend, we do not well. We do not well. We have found the booty. We have gone to eat. We have come for another. We have come for another. But somebody said, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. You see, even the lepers, they knew. Concerning food, That if we don't go and talk about this good news, something bad can happen to us. And some of you, something bad is about to happen to you. Because you have good news. And you are sleeping on the same bed with a man. Who is your husband? Who is your wife? Sitting in the same office.
Yet office back
with a friend.
And
you are not telling the person the good news. You do not well. You do not well. And he said, now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. That we may go and do what? Tell the king's household. So it is not good that we have good news. Joyce, you have good news. And what is the good news? Our good news is better than the news the lepers went to tell them. Remember the news the lepers went to tell them. He said, tomorrow by this time you will eat. Tomorrow by this time you have visa. And you see, that is what we have reduced ourselves to. Tomorrow by this time, visa, this shirt, whatever. The news we have today, this good news, is far more important than what the lepers had to tell the people. And yet they said, we don't do well if you don't go and tell them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yolanda, so let us go and tell them. That is why if you are in a church and your pastor will force you and say, bring souls, all that I'm telling you is that we do not do well. That yesterday we came to eat in the church. Last week Sunday we came to eat in the church. We have been eating and eating, but we are not telling anybody about the good news. We are not bringing anybody to hear the good news. It is not anything strange. Swollen Sunday must not be a strange thing. It must be a way of life. It must be our way of life. It must be everyday thing that we do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Oh, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Shout amen again.
Amen.
That is what it must be. But it's like a strange thing. There must be something about it before we.
I don't know why.
It should be a normal thing.
Normal.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I want to tell you a story of somebody. But I will tie it to, you must be a soul winner because God does not want anyone to perish in hell. Listen, if we don't tell them the good news, they will die and go to hell. If we had not heard the good news, we would have died and gone to hell. So today, we want to know why we must stick to it. And the story of Reverend Ron Reagan.
Reverend Ron Reagan.
The story of Reverend Ron Reagan. This is a story in the book about somebody who died. Ron Reagan and his experience of seeing his brothers burning in hell. He died. And he had an experience of seeing his brothers burning in hell. You know, some of us, we deceive ourselves to think that our fathers, our mothers, our uncles, we knew they died sinners. And we are trying to make it look as if they are in heaven. If they didn't accept Jesus, they went to hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this man died. And he was going to hell. He said that. But let me go straight to where he died. So, whilst he was dying and they were taking him in an ambulance, somebody told him, sir, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? He said, I cursed him and God with all the strength left in my body. There is no God. Who is this Jesus you are talking about? Look at me. Do you think there is a God? Even though the man was dying, but he didn't want to hear about Jesus. But eventually, The young man in the ambulance persisted by saying that, sir, Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you. And he said, all the time I listened, I could hear my wife sobbing. Then later, he said, what's wrong? I can't see. Then suddenly, he heard voices. Razor Reagan.
What's he, Razor Reagan?
Ronnie. Turn around. Don't come here.
What's he, member? I say, Daniel Chico.
Go back. Stop now.
What's he, Gina, baby?
Don't come here.
Member.
And it reminds me of the story of the rich man and Lazarus.
It seems to me that
hell is so bad. That no matter what happens, you don't want any person, anybody to come there. Even if you are there yourself. You know, sometimes when something bad happens to you, you wish that it will happen to someone else. Especially if you are playing golf. And your ball goes to the rough. You wish that the other person's ball will go to the rough. Why? The person don't come. And then he said, as I kept hearing these voices, the smoke opened up and I could see what looked like the old quarry pit that we used to swim in when I was a child. I could see people in there and they were burning. This is why we must stick to the agenda. I could see people in there and they were burning. Their arms, their faces, their bodies were blazing and the fire wasn't going out. Closer and closer I went until I could see the individuals. But I couldn't understand what I was seeing. You see, some of you as you are sitting here, you are feeling warm, you are feeling the heat, you are feeling hungry. It cannot be compared to this thing that I'm describing. You must thank your God that he has delivered you from this place. Shout amen, somebody. There were two standing close together, and I saw they were Billy and
Freddie,
my two brothers, and they were burning and screaming. May you not go to hell in the first place, and may none in your household die and go to hell in Jesus' name. What are you doing here? I yelled. You died on the highway in a 1957 Chevrolet drunk when you hit the block while doing 100 miles per hour. What are you doing here? The man didn't answer. They said, don't come here. There is no way out. It's horrible. Don't come here. Please. Don't go to hell. Don't play with this and go to hell.
Say,
don't come here. I look to the other side. Oh no, Charles. What are you doing here? Last time I saw you, you were in Pigeon River. You were so drunk that your car went into the river. And we couldn't bring you out. What did he also say? Go back, he said. Don't come here. Then I saw my friend
Richard.
May no Richard here die and go to hell in Jesus' name. I saw my friend Richard. I said, oh, Richard.
Mr. Richard.
Hallelujah. Oh, Richard, I can't help you.
Me to me, wow.
And he talked about the sin that Richard did.
No, Kasafa Bonia Richard.
Then, oh God, Richard cried out, don't come here.
Now Richard can say, which member has said,
you can't help. He said, I cannot convey the horror, the terror of what I saw and heard.
You think
it's a joke.
What do you say, agro?
You think heaven is a place, you know, some people, when we go to heaven, we are going to play this, we are going to meet this person, we are going to meet this person. We are going to booze, we are going to dance. Please don't joke with these things. It's not a joke. Suddenly everything went black and I woke up. 48 hours later, I came around in the hospital.
48 hours in the hospital.
And this is how he became a preacher.
When a man be here,
he became a preacher.
When a man
be here, he died and saw what was in hell.
Amen.
Amen. You see,
there
are so many stories I can tell you. But because of time,
preach.
You are not saying, oh. You must stick to the agenda. You must stick to the agenda. You must be a soul winner. Because there are many fools in this world who think that there is no God. There are many fools in this world who think there is no God. And someone must tell them about Jesus. Psalm 14 verse 1. What does it say? Shall we all read it together? Psalm 14 verse 1. Ready, go. The fool
has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good.
Who has said in his heart? Who has said in his heart? Have you heard anybody like that before?
What is Obikasa?
How many of you have heard anybody say there's no God before? The Bible says that is the fool.
Bible says,
and once upon a time, I was also a fool. I also used to say, I didn't say there's no God, but it's like we wouldn't give our life to Jesus. I think there's no God and we wouldn't give our life to Jesus. It's the same thing.
We
the same thing. They said there's no God. It's only the fool. And there are still people who are saying there is no God. Some who think they are educated are saying there is no God. Some who think they are intelligent say there is no God. Some who think they are so poor say there is no God. But it is only the fool. It is only the fool who
says
there is no God. And the story of Professor Howard Storm illustrate how many people think there is no God, but will be surprised when they die. People think there is no God, but
they
will be surprised when they die. The date was
June 1985,
and I was in France.
Name of France.
I was leading a group of students on an atoll. My wife was with me, and suddenly something happened. And I realized that I was facing death. I felt nothing but hopelessness, depression, and despair. I felt I was ready to die. I closed my eyes and became unconscious. I don't know how much time elapsed, but I found myself standing next to my body. Almost everyone who has had a near-death experience have said that they found themselves out of their bodies. And they saw their body lying there. So he said, I found myself out of my body. I opened my eyes and there was a body in my bed.
Hey,
I didn't understand how it was possible to be outside of one's body and yet looking at the body in my bed. Not only that, but I was extremely agitated and upset because I was yelling at my wife to get her attention, but she neither saw nor heard me and didn't move at all. I turned to my roommate. That's the roommate in the hospital. But got the same reaction. He too was oblivious to me and I became more and more angry and agitated.
You
see, when you die, you will see your body. But you yourself, you'll be out of that body. And if you see that the body is lying there, and this is what this man is experiencing. One day I was sleeping, and this thing happened to me. I saw that I was sleeping. And I was sleeping by my wife. But I realized I was standing out of my body. But I was sleeping by my wife. And after the dream, but as I was, I found her sleeping there. I was so shocked and surprised that the thought of living was not a bother to me. You know, I'm sure that our sense of humor will follow us when we die. Because I felt that I told myself, hey, who will marry her? But I found myself out of my body. And I was looking at my body. When I got out of sleep, I realized that I had actually gone out of my body. Whether it was a near-death experience or not, I cannot tell. But I saw my body sleeping on the bed with my wife. And that is how it's going to be. When you die, as people are saying that there's an accident, the people are dead, you will be standing there looking at them.
Accident.
And you would like to talk to them, but they cannot hear you. They cannot listen to you. They cannot even see you. And this is what happened to this man. He said that it was at that point that I heard voices calling me by name from outside the room. Hey! I could see figures moving around in the haze. And I asked them to come closer, but they wouldn't come close enough. These beings kept asking me to come with them. Although I asked them a lot of questions, they didn't answer me. Gradually, they became increasingly cruel as it began to get even darker. The creatures also started making fun of me. And some would say to the others, hey, be careful, don't scare him off. They were making fun of him. Hey. At this point, I said I wasn't going any further. This was a kind of bluff on my part because I didn't know which way was back. And I couldn't figure out where to go to. The creatures responded by pushing and shoving me, and at first I fought back and well, and was able to hit them in the face and kick them. However, I couldn't inflict any hurt on them, and they simply laughed. They began with their fingernails and teeth to pick little pieces of me. They pick little pieces of me with their fingernails. Look, it's not going to be easy in hell. I experienced real physical pain, and this went on for a long time with me fighting. The difficulty was that I was in the center of huge crowd, hands and teeth all around me. And the more I screamed, the more violent it became. Eventually, there was no strength in me. As I lay there, I had the strangest experience. A voice that seemed to come from my chest spoke to my mind. It said, pray to God. I proceeded to argue with my voice, saying, I didn't believe in God, so how can I pray?
Hey.
We are stubborn, even in hell. With all this, some of you, even whilst you are hearing this, you are still thinking of when we will close. Instead of thinking of how you give your life to Christ. For the third time, my voice said, pray to God. So I thought I'll better try. I started to think things like, the Lord is my shepherd. God bless America. Because he wasn't going to church, he didn't know how to pray. So as they say you should pray, You are thinking about the pledge. I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland.
To be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland.
And God bless our homeland, Ghana.
God bless our homeland, Ghana.
Then he said, eventually, he remembers Psalm 23.
I feel okay, Psalm 23.
So here do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Eventually, he was taken out of that place. But this is for you to know that don't be a fool. He said in his heart, there is no God. But eventually, he found out there was God. Beloved, God came to die for us. So that we hear these things and take ourselves away from hell. Today, if you have heard this word, and many of more of such words you are going to hear, I want you to make a decision that you are going to stay with Jesus forever. And if you have not given your life to Jesus, today, Resurrection Sunday, you are going to take the best decision of your life. You are going to take the best decision of your life to say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in God. I believe in your death. You died for me. Today, save me.
Jimmy.
Save me.
Jimmy.
Today, forgive me of my sins.
Me.
Today, make me one of your own. Today, make me one of your own. Let's all close our eyes. Yes, this is somebody invited you to come today. Somebody invited you to come. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody outside in the church, close your eyes. Don't laugh, don't do it. Close your eyes. Don't let your friend disturb you. Don't let anybody talk to you. Tell the person, please don't disturb
me.
Stop laughing, stop doing anything. Just listen to what I'm saying. Someone invited you to church today. Someone invited you to church today. And you want to say, Pastor, I want to take Jesus at his word. And I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So, Pastor, please pray for me to be born again. Today is my first time of coming here. My friend brought me here. But I want you to pray for me. With every eye closed and every head bowed. Today is your first time of coming here. And he wants me to pray for you. Someone invited you. Or you came here on your own. Today is your first time of coming here. I want you to lift up your hand wherever you are. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Lift up your hand outside wherever you are. Lift up your hands wherever you are. Lift up your hand. Now if your hand is up, wherever you are, I want you to stand to your feet. Start your feet if your hand is up wherever you are. Stand to your feet. If you are sitting by any of them whose hand is up, those of you outside, stand to your feet. If your hand was up, I need pastors to help those outside. Wherever you are, stand to your feet and lift up your hand. Now, if you are on your feet, I want you to walk to me from wherever you are and put your hands together for them as they come. If you also invited anybody, you know the person is sitting, you can bring the person here. But come to me wherever you are. Come to me. Come, put your hands together for them as they come. Put your hands together for them as they come. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. Wherever you are, today is your first time of coming. You have heard the word. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Kindly start giving them the books. Please pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Oh, keep clapping for them. Keep clapping for them. Keep clapping for them. I need people to help to give them the books. I need people to help to give them the books quickly. So many people to help to give them the books. Wherever you are, today is your first time. Come. Oh, put your hands together for them. Stop finding yourself and put your hands together for this one. God bless you. God bless you. I need some pastors to help to give out these books. Every one of them here must receive a book. Oh, they are coming. They are coming. Wow. Put your hands together for them. Oh, I don't know why you are not encouraging them. I'm not impressed at all. Please, every one of you is going to receive a book. Do you have enough books? Do you have, okay. Every one of you, please keep coming. Oh, wow. Come. You are the reason why we are here today. Wow. Listen, I need one of you to sing a song whilst you give them the books. Just give them the books. Every one of you, today you want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Someone invited you and you came. We are interested in every single one of you. Just come. Just come. If you invite anybody, you want to cancel the person to be saved, make sure you go to the person and make the person become saved. The person will be saved in Jesus' name. Please, have you all received the books? If you don't have the book, raise your hand. They are bringing more. Okay, hurry up, please. A lot of them have not received. Whilst we receive the music. After this, we are going to also take communion. Everyone should help so that they all get their books. Lift up your hand, you'll get a book. Thank you. Let's close our eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Those outside, please, if you are sitting down, you are not sure you are saved. You are sitting down, you are still not saved. You are thinking that you have another
chance.
But I want to tell that today is your day. Don't live here without giving your life to Jesus. So if you have not come and you are not saved, I want you to stand to your feet and come. Come. Give her a book. Come. Just come. Before we pray, don't live here without knowing. Okay, now those of you here, I want you to say this with me. And let all of us join in. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. I thank you for today. I believe in my heart. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to die for my sins.
Today.
I
accept Jesus
into my heart. As my Lord and personal Savior. I confess Jesus. With my mouth. As my Lord. And thank you, Lord Jesus. That today. You are forgiving me of my sins. And I am saved. I am born again. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Medawase semate wasem enne medimakoma mawo mesrew mempese mekwabo nsemujem inti enne mesrew fa me boni nyina cheme na tro me din e won kwa humanim se de be ya me wua menya dankwa me fa yesu se me kraje nkwa medawase se waye ma body foforo. Amen.
Amen. Now, let me see the books. All of you have
received
the books.
Wonderful.
Now, what you are going to do is that you are going to go back to take your seat. Don't write anything in the form that we're giving to you. When we close, we'll meet you again. And then we'll help you to write. So all of you with the books, we shall call you back. But for now, all of you go and take your seats with your book. Put your hands together for them. Oh, you can do better than that. You don't know what has happened. The whole of heaven is rejoicing because of these ones. God bless you. This is how church should be every Sunday. God bless you. God bless you. A soul is a soul. And it's precious to God. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. All these souls and all those who brought these souls to church today. God bless you. God put a certain blessing into your cup. A certain blessing into your life. For bringing this one to receive salvation. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wonderful.
God bless you for listening to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam. For copies of today's message or any other message by Bishop Sam, please contact us on 0277-533-108 or visit us at Loyalty House International, Abay, Dawenia. You can also send Bishop Sam an email at pastorishmael@yahoo.com. For prayer and counseling, you can contact us on 0277-533-108. You can also worship with us every Sunday in our powerful gathering service at 10 a.m. at the Loyalty House International, Abay, Dawenia. God bless you.